As a solar eclipse passes over the Rocky Mountains, this is Go West Young Podcast, your show about public lands and the outdoors. I'm Aaron Weiss at the Center for Western Priorities in Denver. We're coming to you this week from just outside of town in Morrison up in the foothills. We have the solar eclipse going on right now. We're at a park with a whole bunch of kids who are out here playing. They've got their eclipse glasses. You guys having fun? This is pretty great to see. Their school won't let them out for safety concerns, so they're here with a bunch of parents playing hooky, learning about some awesome science. We've got glasses. We've got the paper plates going on here. This is so much fun to see. What was that?
Yeah, you want
to... We're talking about the eclipse. What are you seeing right now?
Well, it's hard to see the eclipse because the sun's so bright, so...
Do you have your glasses?
Well, we didn't bring glasses. We have a piece of paper with a hole in it.
Is it working?
Yeah.
That's so awesome. All right, well, I think we're, about 20 minutes away from the maximum eclipse here, going to be about 90%. You excited?
It's going to be awesome.
And, hey, you know, in just a minute, we're going to talk to one of the youngest public lands activists in the country, 9-year-old Robbie Bond, who is starting up a group called Kids Speak for Parks. Plus, we're going to take a look back at how scientists in the West contributed to the Voyager spacecraft, the first one launched 40 years ago this week. But first... let's talk about the news. Any day now, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke could announce his decisions about the future of 27 national monuments. He's been playing games with them since April, taking a few off the list when it was politically expedient for him, but that still leaves more than 20 hanging in the balance. The deadline is this Thursday, but we don't know if the secretary will make an announcement before that, after that, not at all. It's possible he'll make a private report to the president or make recommendations to Congress, both of which would be completely legal. Or he and President Trump could try to unilaterally shrink or eliminate some monuments, which would trigger an immediate court battle that would certainly last for years. Go back to episode 11 in this feed for a conversation with Professor Mark Squillaci about just how weak that legal case would be. We've also got a link to that episode in the show notes. One other note. We've been pointing out for weeks that this review is a sham. There are no objective criteria for evaluating national monuments. The secretary has only visited a handful of them in person, much less had serious conversations with monument supporters there. Secretary Zinke could have spent the last week doing a deep dive into all of those monuments. He could have visited a few more of them, but he didn't. He went on vacation to the Mediterranean. His wife's been tweeting pictures of the romantic getaway. Now, don't get me wrong, even cabinet secretaries get vacation time, but if you know you've got a giant project at work that's due in a week, and you've been slacking off for months already, maybe, just maybe, you should take that time off afterwards. Just a thought. Our guest this week is an activist, a traveler, and educator, and, oh yeah, he's 9 years old. Robbie Bond is leading an effort called Kids Speak for Parks. He joins us from somewhere on the road in California, heading toward one of the California monuments that's being threatened right now. Robbie, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Okay, thank you.
Robbie, tell me, where did this idea for Kids Speak for Parks come from?
So, me and my mom, we watched a movie called The Lorax. Its moral is kind of like, don't hurt the environment or bad things will happen. And President Trump signed the executive order threatening to get rid of 27 of the national monuments. So, originally, we were just going to see all the national parks because President Obama created a pass called the Every Kid in the Park Pass, which enables fourth graders to go to all the national parks for free. And then we decided to do more, and then Kids Speak for Parks came about.
That's very, very cool that you realized that. And I love the Every Kid in a Park program, where every 9-year-old gets to go to all the national parks for free. So which of the national monuments have you been to so far?
Oh, I've been to Bears Ears, Giant Sequoia, Grand Staircase, Escalante, and I drove through Carrizo Plain on our way home.
Nice. So, well, let's start with Bears Ears then, because we've talked about that so much on this podcast. What do you think was the favorite thing you learned going to Bears Ears?
I learned about the Native Americans and their petroglyphs that they put in the rocks. And that was really cool.
That's very cool. And there are so many of those in Bears Ears. Did you get to see a couple different sites?
Yes, I saw the Wolfman panel, and I saw the Butler panel, and I think that's about it.
Awesome. So from there, you went to Grand Staircase Escalante. What did you do when you got there?
We went to a coffee shop because my dad wanted to get coffee, and we wanted to meet some people and talk about my project. And we met a guide named Coulter Hoyt, and he makes flutes out of cedar wood. And he took us on a day trip to see all different like areas, and we went hiking.
That's very cool. So what did Coulter teach you there?
He taught me about Native American plants, like the plants that they use to like start fires, and like if you had a fever, you could get cured using the plants. And he just taught me about a bunch of really important things.
What sort of other people have you met on your travels so far? I was looking through your Facebook videos, and there was a really cool one where you were learning about bouldering.
Oh yeah, so I forgot her name, but it started with a B, and we went to a canyon called Singing Canyon, and there was holes. Oh, Bethany, that was her name, and there was holes in the canyon. And they were all interconnected, and we got to like run through them, and it was really cool.
That is very, very cool. So do you think after that you want to get into more bouldering or actual rock climbing with ropes and belays and all of that?
Yeah.
So where are you headed to next?
Santa Snow.
Santa Snow, one of the California monuments. What do you know about that so far, even though you haven't been there yet? Anything?
No, I like to be surprised when we go there.
I think that's a great way to travel. We were just down there a couple of weeks ago when we traveled through Southern California, and I was struck by how amazingly huge those mountains are. And I live up in the mountains here in Colorado, but you know, here you start at 5,000, 6,000 feet before you go up into the mountains. There, it's basically sea level, and so they really do tower over you. I hope you get a chance to do both the sand and the snow. I don't know if there's any snow permanently up there in August or not, but it's really spectacular. If you could live in or live near any of the national monuments that you've been to so far, which would it be?
I would live in Bluff, Utah, next to Bears Ears.
What did you like about Bluff?
It's really small, and everyone knows everyone. There's only 200 people there, and it's, like, right next to Bears Ears. And most of the people who live there support the monuments.
That's very cool. So it's basically having a national monument as your backyard.
Yes.
Cool. I want to bring in Audrey, who's here. Audrey is 6, and Audrey had a question for you as well.
Okay.
For kids listening to this right now, how can they get involved?
Oh, how can they get involved?
Yeah.
Oh, you can go to our website at www.kidspeakforparks, and there's a petition on there to, you know, the national monument in Hawaii, Papahanao Mokuakea?
Oh, yeah.
I can't even say that, but just say it again, because I love hearing you say it so much. I can't pronounce it.
Oh, well, there's a monument in Hawaii. It's called Papahanao Mokuakea. And Donald Trump, President Trump, is trying to shrink the expansion that President Obama made. And there's a petition on the website.
Very true.
So you can sign the petition to ask the president to not shrink the monument in Hawaii?
Yeah.
So we're in August right now. Do you go back to school here in September in a couple weeks?
No, I think I'm going to be homeschooled.
Oh, so you get to keep traveling throughout the year.
Yeah, because I want to do...
Cool.
Yeah, and I don't have to go to school because I can do school in like an RV or something.
Nice. So you get to keep traveling throughout the fall?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Any idea where you're headed to next, then, after after Santa Snow?
We think we're going to go to Carrizo Plain, but if my mom finishes up with her work, we might go to Channel Islands.
Cool.
That sounds like a very fabulous fall. Audrey, do you have any other final questions for Robbie?
Any way we can, like, start a club out of this?
A club?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what he's got going with Kids Speak for Parks. It's basically a club, isn't it?
Well, like...
Yeah, it's like a club of kids. Oh, you can also take pictures and videos, and you can send them to us, and we might post some of them on our website.
Oh, that's cool. Excellent. So we can hit some of our monuments in Colorado.
Like pictures about the outdoors and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I've always wanted to go to Colorado and Black Canyon of the Gunnison.
Well, yeah, so? Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park. Maybe we'll do Canyons of the Ancients National Monument and Colorado Monument. Yes. That sounds great. All right. I think we've got a plan here.
Okay.
All right. Robbie Bond, who is 9 years old and the genius behind Kids Speak for Parks. Robbie, thank you for everything you're doing, and thank you for keeping us posted on your travels. We look forward to watching your next adventure.
Okay. Thanks for letting me do an interview with you.
It's been our pleasure. We'll talk to you later, Robbie.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
All right. We're back here at the park in Morrison. The eclipse has just peaked. We're here with Olive. Olive, what did you see there?
I saw... the half of a moon, and I saw the full.
The peak of the eclipse there? How much of the sun was left?
There is only, like, a little stripe.
That's pretty cool. Did it get colder out here or warmer? What happened?
It got a little cold, but not too cold.
All in all, do you think it was worth coming out here in the middle of the day to watch the eclipse?
Uh-huh.
Any idea when you get to see another one?
Yeah.
How long?
I think about 2 hours.
Oh, about 2 hours? Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for the next one then. What did you see?
About 90% of the 90% of the sun or so was covered. And actually, I was surprised because it wasn't that much darker outside.
Did it feel different in some way?
You could sense that it was different outside with the light, but it was pretty amazing to watch.
All right, we are going to look to the stars this week in Western history. It was 40 years ago this week that the Voyager 2 spacecraft lifted off. Of course, it lifted off from Florida, and that's not quite Western history. And we're not even going to count the good folks at the Jet Propulsion Lab in California who control the twin spacecraft. We're going to talk about the Western contribution to the science on board. Some of the key instruments on both Voyager spacecraft were managed and designed by scientists in the West. Those amazing pictures of Jupiter's red spot and Saturn's rings that we hadn't seen before, they came from a camera system led by a scientist at the University of Arizona, Brad Smith. One member of his team remembers Smith was so worried about how the planetary flybys would go that at one early meeting he had everyone shake hands and apologize to each other in advance for all the nasty things they were going to say to each other during the stress of those flybys. Two other instruments came out of the University of Colorado, a photopolarimeter, which helped study the atmospheres of Jupiter, Saturn, and Titan, and also a radio receiver, not for communicating, but for listening. CU Professor James Warwick was the principal investigator there. Those radio signals showed the existence of lightning on Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus, something that scientists hadn't known before. Of course, Voyager 1 is now the most distant known object in our solar system. Voyager 2 isn't far behind, and they are expected to keep working until around 2025 when their radioactive generators finally stop producing enough electricity. Of course, these days, the Voyager craft may be best remembered for the golden record they carry on board, an actual playable record designed to last for a billion years, just in case anyone out there ever finds the spacecraft. The records contain greetings in 55 different languages and music ranging from Peruvian panpipes to Chuck Berry. Somewhat less known are the images on those records, 115 pictures converted into sound. That work was done in Colorado as well by a company that could send pictures over the phone.
It took 2 minutes to send a single frame back then. It was just video converted into audio signals back the other side, if you remember the days when computers would load programs off of cassette tapes or the early modems and their loud squealing. That's basically the same technology, and they put that on the Golden Record. The Golden Record is being reissued for the 40th anniversary, by the way. You can buy it on CD or vinyl, gold-colored vinyl, of course. The Voyager 2 spacecraft launched this week in 1977. That's it for this episode of Go West Young podcast. We may be back in your feeds sooner rather than later, depending on what happens with national monuments. Stay tuned for that one, of course. In the meantime, podcast@westernpriorities.org is where to send your feedback. We do love hearing from you, especially with ideas for guests we should talk to in future episodes. In the meantime, I'm Aaron Weiss, coming to you from a park in Morrison, Colorado. On behalf of all of us at the Center for Western Priorities, thanks for listening. What else? What did you see? Was this exciting today?
No.
All right, that's no fun. All right, we'll let everyone here, I guess, get back to school because it is still school day, isn't it?